The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an
unspoken. Welcome back, buddy. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We must take America back. All right, guys. Okay, here we go. Let me go through the stuff. Okay. Welcome to hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your regular Wednesday host, William Repillum. And, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button. Donate much needed fundage, whatever you can, folks. Anything that you can. $1, $5, $20, $50, $100, whatever you can do. Please. And we thank you for your support and for keeping free speech alive. And where were we? So I was reading the – oh, that's right. Okay, so at the end of hour one there, I was reading the 25 points of American National Socialism. I wasn't able to find the German ones. I'm sorry. So I'm reading the American ones. All right, so only members of the – number four – only members of the nation may be citizens of the state. Only those of pure white blood, whatever their creed, may be members of the nation. Non-citizens may live in America only as guests and must be subject to laws for aliens. Accordingly, no Jew or homosexual may be a member of the nation. Okay. So, let me cover what happened in 1965 real quick with the Hart-Celler Act and sort of the motivations for, this. For those of you who might be listening and feel a little bit like this seems extreme to you. Well, I'll tell you about some extremism, and that is the extremism that the Jews who spent 41 years. There was a law put in place in 1924 to keep American immigration primarily white in 1924, and that law stayed in place until 1965, when the Jews finally pried it open. They finally, after 40 years of Jewing, they finally managed to pry the borders open, because the Jews don't have the interests of white Europeans at heart. They have the interest of exterminating white Europeans. The Jews have always been the enemy of our people. So that's just really important to understand. So there were two men, Emanuel Seller and Jacob Javits, two Jews who managed to be the ones to drop the Hart-Celler Act. And this Hart-Celler Act was signed into law in 1965 by President Johnson. And ever since then, you know, what they do in the beginning, just like they did with Israel, they said, oh, we promise not to, you know, it to be too bad. It'll just be a little bit, you know, we won't depend on anybody's rights. We won't destroy anybody's culture. We won't do any of that. We promise. Of course, we're Jews. We're promising we're not going to do that. Of course, we're going to keep our promise. So that's never what happens. Never what happens. So as a result, we have gone from a 90% white European nation, which is a good thing to have a nice, overwhelmingly white European nation, because we Europeans, we build high trust societies. It's just what we do. And, you know, there were so many more places in the earlier part of the century where you could go in the country and you didn't have to lock your door. You didn't have to, you didn't have to lock your car door. You don't have to worry about your kids being out later. You know, the country was very much more safe than it is now. Now the Jews have pried the border open with the Hart-Celler Act of 1965. And ever since then, non-white people from different parts of the world have been pouring in through the southern border and other places. and we have been balkanized. And that's always the goal of the Jew, to balkanize your country. And that means to break it apart and create disparate, you know, places that are not unified, not a unified, because a Jew doesn't like a unified people, because that's a unified people is someone that the Jews can't control. So in order for the Jews to rule the world, they have to balkanize everybody's countries first, especially the white Western European countries. Well, not just Western, but all white European countries. Russia's not a Western European country, technically. It's pretty much an Eastern European country, just like all those Romania, Yugoslavia, the Czech Republic, what used to be Czechoslovakia, what I call a turducken, a Jewish turducken. They put it together, and it was a communist state, and it was like, everybody was like, what the hell is this thing? You know, what is this turducken stuck in the middle of Europe right next to Germany? It overlaps on the Sudetenland, and now all these Germans are being murdered and tortured. And it's also happening in Poland, too. It was also happening in Poland, too, in West Danzig. This is after the Treaty of Versailles, when the Jews won World War One, because they were the only victors. They got in quick, and they did the Treaty of Versailles. And the Treaty of Versailles was cutting up Germany, carving it up, and saying, "Okay, here we're giving this over to Poland now, to Jewish Bolshevik Poland." And sorry about your murdered German ethnic people that are living in the Danzig corridor. No, you know, it's just kind of how it goes, you know, just the war, you know, we're carving up the lands and giving them away to some other, you know, country. So by the time 1930s came around and Hitler was like, wow, this Bolshevism is just insane. It's got to be stopped. This communism, our people are being murdered up in these areas in our own lands. And I just watched Russia get 30 million people slaughtered and tortured by Jews that took over after World War One in Russia. So now this is not what they tell you about Hitler. And they don't tell you about all the peace offers that he made, he attempted to make, that he did make to the Allied powers prior to, you know, finally going into Poland and so-called attacking Poland. That's all they tell you is this crazy Hitler went into Poland for no reason and just started taking over because Hitler wanted to take over the world. Well, this is the exact opposite of the truth. The Jews have been trying to take over the world, and now they have because we're stupid and we haven't been, you know, figuring out what's going on. And I confess that I was stupid too, but it's time to stop being stupid. Okay. All right. Anyway, I got on a tangent there, and I forgot what I was originally talking about. So let me go ahead and take the call from Joe in Florida. And Joe, I really apologize. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the show.
No problem, William. It's good to be on with you. Hey, you know, Dan referenced this, just to put a finer point on it, about Dr. E. Michael Jones' point about Jews and countries. So originally it was in 1890s, Civiltà Cattolica was the official magazine of the Church of the Vatican, right? And so they put out this series of articles. It was like a newspaper, but it's always approved from the very highest point in the Vatican. And in 1890, they put out a three-part series on, they called it The Jewish Question in France. And, you know, which had happened, you know, the whole thing earlier. Anyway, so he says, this is the key point, the conclusion, right? This is from the official magazine of the Vatican in 1890. The conclusion of this series was simple but stunning. Any country which turned away from laws created by Christian kings, as the French had done in 1789, would end up being ruled by Jews. That's the official teaching of the Catholic Church about Jews and history. Now, it's interesting. You know, you see, you were talking also about this idea of citizens, and actually, historically, throughout history, Jews were not treated as citizens, and rightly so. This was the experience of hundreds of countries, right, that a Jew can never be considered a citizen. Why? Because they are out for themselves. They don't consider themselves part of society, okay? So any country, and this is, we're learning this lesson the hard way right now in America, that opens them into their society and without controls on them and gives them power, God forbid, is going to be destroyed. This is what's happened to our country. But, you know, that's that finer point that Dan was making. And but the other thing I wanted to bring up, if I can, is in today's New York Times, I mean, I happen to see it. I don't generally read it. There's a story which you might find interesting, William. The headline is, U.S. Justice Department is helping Kiev pursue war crimes by Russians. Oh, wow. Amazing. And who is it? Moshe Garfinkel, right? Merrick Garland is now saying that, oh, he's going to be looking for in Ukraine for alleged Russian war criminals. And get this, you'll appreciate this. I'll just read this one section from the story. It says, to coordinate that effort, Mr. Garland, a.k.a. Garfinkel, right, Mr. Garland appointed Eli Rosenbaum, a veteran prosecutor, to oversee the Justice Department war crimes accountability efforts. Can you hear me? I had a little interruption there. Hello. Are you there? Sorry.
Oh, I thought I wasn't muted. I'm sorry. I looked down and I saw a non-muted situation. So I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it must have been me. Moshe, I apologize. Yeah, so Moshe
Garfinkel is Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland's real name is Moshe Garfinkel. And he,
yeah, I'm not so sure about the Moshe part, but it's Garfinkel. We know it's Garfinkel. I'm not so sure about the Moshe, but it might as well be
Moshe. Yeah, I don't remember the Moshe. Okay, so he appointed Rosenbaum. What was the first name?
Yeah, Eli Rosenbaum, a veteran prosecutor, to oversee the Justice Department's war crimes accountability efforts. And then, it was well-received, the choice, they say. Mr. Rosenbaum is best known for his dogged pursuit of, wait for it, Nazi war criminals and the unmasking in the 1980s of former U.N. Secretary General Kurt Waldheim. I'm asking what, as a Nazi or some, you know, they destroyed Kurt Waldheim's career, I think, because he wanted to give the Palestinians some sort of respect. So they ginned up some fake charges that he was a Nazi. But isn't it funny how everything comes full circle, right? And what I thought about this is, you know, the analogy now between the, you know, the Holocaust and the Nuremberg trials and everything like that is becoming more and more identical with this outrageous war of aggression by the Jews who rule Ukraine, okay, against Russia. That's what this is. It's a war of aggression by Ukraine against Russia. And now, from the beginning, the narrative of this war that we see in the media, 100% fictitious. And now it seems to me they're going to do the same thing they did with the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust, and they're going to invent war crimes that American Jew lawyers are going to prosecute them. Where are they going to prosecute them? In Ukraine? It's outrageous. They're exporting this Jewish criminal justice, which is corrupted from the beginning. What do you think?
I'll just say it's not Ukraine that's attacking Russia, really. It's NATO. It's the Jews using NATO and the Jews using their international cabal and then using Ukraine. And it's important to kind of annotate sort of the important events that took place in Ukraine over the past 100 years. Now, if we go back, I'm going to do the real quick overview. Ukraine used to be heavily populated with Germans back when the Tsar Alexander, brought them over in the late 1800s, brought them over in order to help with the farms, because Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world. Well, historically, it has been. Massive farming, right. Unbelievable production of food from there and crops. So now, fast forward up to in Bolshevism, Tsar Nicholas, murdered by the Jewish Bolsheviks after Russia was tired of fighting in World War One, and so the Jew went in sort of like a disease flows into a, you know, like somebody with their immune system down.
Right.
And they set up all the gulags all over the country so that they could exterminate as many Russian Christians and Russians as possible. They did exterminate tens of millions by the time World War II came around. But if you go to 1932, up to that time frame, that was when the Holodomor took place. And that was with Stalin. And Stalin, his right-hand man, Lazar Kaganovich, and then their buddy, Jewish buddy, Gingrich Yagoda, you know, killed 10 million people in the Holodomor, you know, up to 10 million, somewhere between 5 and 15 million people in the Holodomor. I think the estimate is probably 7 million. In the Holodomor, just starved them to death. So collectivist farms, where they went around and intimidated all the farmers, said, they took all their crops from them. They said, if you even try to eat your own crops, we'll kill you. So all these people starved to death, all these children starved to death. It's a horrific Jewish crime against against humanity, and namely against white Western Europeans. So now you start to kind of understand. If you guys are new to this information, you start to understand why white people are trying to create a white ethnostate around different places, because of the predations of the Jews and what they've been doing, that they've been hiding from us for the last 100 years. All right, let me kick it back over to you.
It's a different take. I don't know if it's a disagreement. Let me explain why I refer to this as a war of aggression by Ukraine against Russia. And here's the story. So 8 years ago, or almost 9 years ago, right, the Jews who ran the State Department at that time, including Victoria Nuland, staged this coup, a completely staged coup, where they put their people in charge in 2014, right? Now, the plan from the beginning was to use Ukraine as a weapon to destroy Russia, or at least to remove Putin or dissemble Russia. That's been their plan for 8 years. That Kiev government, which was eventually replaced by Jews actually leading the government, you know, right now they have the president, the prime minister, and the defense secretary are all Jewish in a country which is more than 80% Christian. Oh, how did that happen? How convenient, right? Anyway, their plan for the last 8 or 9 years is to instigate this war just to attack Russia. From the beginning, the Jews like Victoria Nuland in our State Department have had as their plan use Ukraine as a weapon against Russia, okay? Now, the fact is that they have murdered the Kiev government, more than 14,000 of their own people, before the Russia special operation happened a year ago in February. 14,000 people of their own people. They were bombing Donbass. They were bombing the whole region, and they murdered 14,000 people of their own people, okay? Russia, under Putin, was forced to take action because these psychopaths were murdering these people, and then they were threatening to put nuclear weapons on the border with Russia. So this is why I say it's initiated by Ukrainians, but Jews, really. I mean, they've been used, okay? And my heart goes out to the Ukrainian people. I mean, they've had more than 200,000 people killed, according to Colonel McGregor, in the last year. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's part of a bigger picture, and they detest Russia, you know, and so that's why I call it a war of aggression. But I totally agree with the history is outrageous. The poor Ukrainian people have been victims.
All right. Okay, we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
I think the Biden administration might be trying to overcorrect. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. If you own a firearm, you need to use the code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, just in case you ever need to use that firearm. So a Chinese spy balloon was allowed to traverse the lower 48 states. Biden got a lot of flack for that, and rightfully so. Since then, four more objects have been shot down. Supposedly, the radar has been adjusted to spot smaller objects now. I guess until now, something smaller than a Cessna flew by, nobody noticed. Anyway, Biden said that the last three things shot down were likely not from the CCP, but probably from private companies. Wait a minute, you don't know what they are, and you're shooting $400,000 rockets at them. Did our president and our military forget the rule? Know your target and what's behind your target? This is the same guy that doesn't want you to have assault weapons. From now on, when I see something on or over my property, the first thing I'm going to do is start shooting at it. It's good enough for the president, should be good enough for me too, right? Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out
at school? We're back. Here we go. Welcome back to the National Intel Report. I'm William Rapillum. Okay, so we got Joe in Florida, and Joe, you were talking, and you made some points. We're talking about Ukraine, talking about what's going on in Ukraine. Let me chime in on that real quick, and then I got to jump off on the next one. I'll give you a chance to respond real quick, but So the NATO states have, you know, NATO was formed after World War II, and it was supposed to be an anti-communist thing, you know, against the Soviet Union to protect the West and the United States against the Soviet Union. It should have been dismantled after this Soviet Union was dismantled in 1991, but it wasn't, of course. And so now they've added more states to NATO. It used to just be Western European countries, and it moved east. It's encroached on and swallowed up more Eastern European countries. Obviously, the Jews have ways of bullying countries into doing this. They've bullied recently, I think, Sweden into it. And then Turkey is balking at NATO right now. Suddenly there was a mysterious earthquake that suddenly happened. Now we know about DARPA and HAARP, and we know that they have weather modification fields in different places in the world. There's one in Alaska. There's one in Russia. There's some. I think there's a total of seven of them. I don't know where the other ones are, but they do have the ability now to modify the weather and send electromagnetic frequencies up to redirect weather patterns and do things like that. So. So NATO, these different countries keep getting added. They keep saying, I think there was a treaty, the Minsk agreements. I forgot the name of the treaty that they made, but it was made like a couple of decades ago. and the Minsk Accords, I think. And I could be wrong. Do I have that right, Joe? Where they agreed not to add...
The Minsk Accords, yeah, it's not a couple of decades old. I think it's only about 10 years old.
10 years old, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
And
so
it was a complete fraud. And Angela Merkel,
before... Hang on, let me complete here. All right, so you got the Minsk Accords. So now they've been adding more and more, and they've been promising not to encroach more and more. And now, now the Jews have been, you know, harping on, have been agitating for war with Russia since Trump was in office, at least, you know, even long before that. And you're right, actually, you brought up the coup d'état that happened in 2014, directed by the same State Department Jew, Victoria Nuland, back in 2014. She was having a discussion with one of her secretaries, another Jew, on the phone, saying we're going to get that war with Russia no matter what, whether they like it or not. You know, that's happening. We're going to make that happen. So that's on recorded on the phone, and they've got that. So it's the Jews that started this war. It isn't Russia that started this war. There's no Russian war criminals. And also, what's happened over in the eastern part of Ukraine, which borders directly on Russia, is the Donbass region. This is analogous exactly to what happened in World War II with Germany. You've got ethnic Russians living in the Donbass region who are being assaulted with military, you know, bombs and you know, similar kind of things that were happening to the Germans before World War II. Why Hitler went in there. So, you know, it's real convenient. They have this Hitler narrative now, and they can compare Putin to Hitler because he's defending his own people in the Donbass region. So let me kick it back over to you, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Those are very good points. I agree. And I will say, add this one other thing. With the history of this war, it's so repulsive. The idea of war criminals, the real war criminals are these Ukrainians. Now, what they've done is, if you remember this, I don't know if you remember, William, when it first started, when Putin first had the military action that started a year ago, what was the first thing that this Zelensky guy did? He issued an airlift of Jews out of Ukraine. And I remember that outrageously corrupted, phony Reverend John Hagee, ultra-Zionist, having TV commercials. Oh, help us, give us money so that we can help remove Jews and airlift them out of Ukraine. And so First thing Zelensky does is he airlifts the Jews out of a country where the population of Jews is minimal anyway, right? And then the minute he's airlifted Jews out of there, what does he do? He puts in a draft and conscripts people from the boys, really, from the age of 14 up to the age of 65. That's not an exaggeration. Men at the age of 65 and women up to the age of 50. But guess what? Oh, how convenient. It's only Christians that are left, right? So here's his plan to slaughter Christians by moving out the Jews and then conscripting only Christians, because there were only Christians left in the country, 14-year-old boys, and they are being literally fed into the slaughter machine at the front. And somehow America is on the side of Ukraine. What a disgrace. What an outrageous disgrace.
Absolutely. Exactly like we were on the wrong side in World War II going after Germany. You know, we've been on the wrong side of every war since the Civil War, with the North, the War of Northern Aggression against the South. That's a whole other story there.
Which they were involved in, too, by the way. Now, we get it. You can never avoid a problem if you begin to trust the Jews. But thanks a lot, William. This is great. Have a great night.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, thank you. All right. Okay, we'll be right back, folks. Up against the bottom of the hour break. Just to stay alive, 'cause the heat is on.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Song pumps me up. So that's a the Dirty Rotten Imbeciles. It's a skate punk song from the 80s, and as a Gen Xer, it's underground. That's probably the best skate punk album ever made, called Dealing With It. It's just super great. I think it's the best skating music ever. Yeah, so it's that's my opening actually song on Red Pill Punch Bowl Friday night. So at 10 p.m., what was in plain sight, health and wellness, Jeremy has passed on to me to handle Friday nights now. and I'm doing the Red Pill Punch Bowl. So please come and join on 10 p.m. Eastern, and I look forward to seeing you guys there. And I have a whole nother, starting with that song, I have a whole nother list of bumper music as well, and I'm kind of still figuring all that out right now. But all right, yeah. So, geez. Now, do I still have, no, Joe's gone. So now I'm going to have, I've got John, wait, no. I got Neil in Boston, and then I got John in Oklahoma. So let me take Neil first. Neil, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to take up as little time as possible. I'm sure there are other callers who want to, like, chime in. So backwards. There's a hardcore band from Boston called Slapshot. And they have a song. It's called F New York. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the word, but it's
okay.
F New York.
Okay.
And you can go on YouTube and you can find it. It's got like the Boston Bruins like sign on it. And all the song is about like how they went from Boston, New York to like play shows, like hardcore shows, all ages shows, and it's funny. All right, but the reason why
I'll check them out.
I picked up the phone and I called you was because a couple of moments ago I called Howie Carr, which is he's the Boston conservative guy radio show, right? So like, I've been listening. I'm almost 50, so I've been talking to him for a while, and
wait, who are you? Who can you repeat who it was?
He's called Howie Carr, Howie, and then Carr.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So, all I pretty much said was like, you know, all the things of like Donald Trump and all this stuff going on. And, okay, so there's this thing going on in New Hampshire. It's a small-time kind of, like, story where there's a thing called the Man of the Mountain where, like, 10 years ago or so, like, the Man of the Mountain kind of, you know, fell apart and crashed. And, that was like the Mount Rushmore of the of New Hampshire. So this came up, right? So I was like, well, to me, and right, Howie Carr's talking about, he works for Newsmax, which is Jewsmax, but.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going.
So Neil, I got about a minute, so I need you to wrap it up. But I'm going to try to get to the point here, okay, buddy?
I brought up Building 7.
Mm-hmm.
He cut me off.
No, you're here still.
I'm on a major small time radio station, Howie Carr. I bring up Building 7, they cut me off.
Oh, okay. God. Yeah, okay, well, we won't waste your time with those people.
No,
I don't know, I've never heard of them before. Some kind of controlled opposition broadcast?
He's got, like, a big, big reach.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's why I called you. All right, I love you. I'm going to let you go. All right, bye.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. Yeah, Building 7 is an important, it happened. And we saw it happen on the news. So anybody who go cut someone off because they bring up Building 7, you know, it's like, pfft, What are you going to listen to those creeps? Just, you know, helping along, helping the Jews again. All right. Thanks again, Neil. All right. We got John in Oklahoma. John, welcome to the show. John, you there?
Yeah, this is John.
No, it's not John. Who is this? Ed?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ed. Welcome.
You know, you mentioned Jeremy there, and let me tell you something. Jeremy and that Saturday guy, what's his name? What was his name? Farron. Been avoiding me for years. You know, anybody that has a radio show that avoids people that are not calling up to curse or, you know, or make any foul language or anything like that, you know, they're not the people you want to be listening to. I'm going to tell you right now. This guy,
well, hold
Jeremy,
on a minute.
I would destroy him if he wanted to have a real live show on, you know, his Bible and David Duke and Patrick Slattery, who's another pussy. I'm sorry, but that's what he is. He can't have a normal conversation. He can only chat with David Duke for an hour every day and never be questioned whatsoever on a true, wide-open debate. It's all BS. And I'm telling you, that's what it is. And if you want, tell Jeremy. I'll talk to him anytime. Let's have an hour and let's get it out. But you know what? He won't, because he's full of bullshit and he's never going to do it, because I'm going to make him go to the end of the line where he belongs and not on a damn radio show. Because you are nothing like, you're only a Hannity. If you're going to do a one-way street and you're going to Jack for an hour and not let any truth get in, you are worth nothing. You are.
So Ed, listen. All right, listen. I don't know you. I don't know what your beef is with Jeremy. Jeremy, you know, I like Jeremy. So look, I don't, I'm not, I'm not going to cut off your free, I'm not going to cut you off. But I'm going to tell you, you know, you can say what you want, but why don't you, now that you've made your anger known about what's going on, why don't you tell us what point you're trying to get out that you're not able to get out? And I'm going to give you a chance to do that. But, well, look, man, I'm not, you know, I'm not really providing a floor for someone to call and vent about other hosts.
Well, I mean, how are we going to have free speech, you know? I mean, if we are not allowed to call in other shows.
Well, what do you want to say? What do you want to say?
Do you
want
to be on a network? Do you want to be on a network with people who deny free speech? I mean, isn't, you know, John?
No, that's not.
This is free speech.
Yeah.
He's even got this guy Herzog on.
I'm going to ask you one more time.
And he even kicked off RBN. And now he's got a show.
Sometimes some of the hosts, why don't you call in and talk to Richard Carey? He'll probably, you know, have you called and tried to talk to him?
I called in Richard Carey one time, and he had Slattery on, and because I said something bad about Slattery, I'm not allowed to call anymore. You see, you know, a network isn't always a good thing, you know? Like a network on the
Ed,
Jeff
you're just
Rents,
like over the
Jeff
top
Rents
pissed
network,
off.
They got Frank Collin over there on the network with David Duke. Now, think about that. Frank Collin on the same network as David Duke.
I don't know who Frank Collin is. But, okay, look, Ed, thanks for the call, man. I got to move on. I appreciate it. All right, so I've got John in Oklahoma next. John, welcome to the show. Oh, John, jaw dropped again? Okay. Robert Ravolt. We got Robert Ravolt calling in. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man, what's up? I'm digging your material.
Doing?
And, you know, look. Listen,
thank you.
There's always been these dudes like the last caller that call in and talk smack and all the rest of it. He got how many minutes did you just give this dude? Okay, you gave him some minutes. But he wanted to do his own obfuscations. But listen, I was just listening tonight on my way home and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to reach out to you, and maybe me and you can do a Sunday night together on my broadcast, because I appreciated the way I appreciate the way you boiled things down to the simple level when we're dealing with this kosher mob that's running, you know, the system. And you did it in a very good way, impressed me enough to call in. And I don't call into a lot of the broadcasts on my own network. And I've been on the network for freaking since 2014. So it's working on 9 years now. But I appreciate the way you did it and the precise nature of how you pinpoint the problem. It's great. And I'll talk to the board ops and we'll hook up and, you know, you can come on the broadcast on a Sunday night if you're able. If you're not, I understand. I'm very pressed for time. And John and I used to do a lot of broadcasts together back in the day. But, you know, we all got our own lives and we got to do things, you know, and so forth and so on. But I appreciate the way you were doing it when I was listening on the way on my drive home tonight, and you're really good at it. And when you're focusing in on this problem that we have, this mafia that runs our country and everything else. So, just, you'll be hearing from me soon, and I don't want to take up too much time. You're doing the broadcast, but, come on my broadcast soon and, it'll be cool, man.
Absolutely. Robert, what an honor. Thank you. I've heard your name, and I have never spoken to you yet. And you know, I've heard about you, and I look forward to coming on your show. I'm deeply honored by your gesture here. Thank you so much.
All right,
and
man.
I'll definitely see you
soon. Take care. Have a great rest of the show, man.
Thanks a lot, bud. Have a great night. All right. So, what do we got? We've got 14 minutes left in the show. Doesn't look like we have any other callers. So, yeah, what I'm going to do is jump onto what I wanted to get to tonight, my little piece that I wanted to jump into, which was Eustace Mulligan's. No. Jeez. Sorry, guys. I'm having too much fun over here. Eustace Mullins' article, it was sent to me by Janice Barcelo. Thank you, Janice. A fantastic article. Actually, I pulled it up, and now I got to go find it again. Just going to scroll up here. There we go. All right. So, geez. Okay, it's not opening, so I'm going to go see if I can find it over here. I got those 25 points of National Socialism. No, it's not over here. I can never find it when I want to find it. Why isn't it? Oh, there we go. Renegade Tribune, Eustace Mullins and his slander of Adolf Hitler. Yeah, so that's what I didn't mention. I was promoting Eustace Mullins earlier. He's a great historian. He just got Hitler wrong. So we need to correct that and read this article from Renegade Tribune from April 30th, 2020. It's an important one. And it's an important distinction to make because I've seen so many people on social media getting arguments about Hitler because of the misinformation that came out of what Mullins was teaching there. I think Mullins just got it wrong. Eustace Mullins was one of the earliest authors, researchers to expose the Federal Reserve scam, Zionism, medical dangers, and a host of other important issues. Very few who have dabbled in the conspiracy corner. Mike, can we skip the last break? It would be all right. I can get through this article. All right, appreciate it. Very few who have dabbled in the conspiracy corner haven't heard of Eustace Mullins. It is without a doubt safe to say he was a trailblazer with some of the best information. But regardless of the good he did, those of us who are Mullins fans need to take an honest look at his misinformation regarding World War II. His associations with Ezra Pound on the topic of Adolf Hitler remain conflicting, as Pound was a firm believer that Hitler was no puppet. Ezra Pound was based. He spent a lot of time in jail too, by the way, for, you know, that's a real based individual, someone who does that. Somebody like an Alfred Schaefer and Monica Schaefer. These are heroes. These are heroes. Ursula Haverback is another hero. A 94-year-old woman I mentioned earlier spent time in jail for their, they weren't going to back down. against the Jews, trying to tell them to back up their back up, Goyim. You're not allowed to say that the Holocaust was a sham. Okay, sorry. Eustace Mullins embodies the quintessential tragedy that is the anti-Zionist researcher. After so much truthful research and information is offered to his readers, the question of World War II and Adolf Hitler inevitably arrives. It must be a tense moment for them. I surmise the inner dialogue must be something like this. Quote, am I going to tell the truth or play it safe? With the intent of avoiding the big bad Nazi label, most researchers choose to play it safe option. Oh. Okay. Yeah. The solution for this, smear Hitler as a pawn of the Zionists. It's a tried and true recipe that convinces their J-woke audience while simultaneously rejecting the orthodox historical narrative. Myron Fagan was the first to do this. Henry Makow and Eustace Mullins followed suit. One more joke to your shills like Christopher John Bjorkmes copied this strategy as well.
I remember when Mike King, I told Mike King about Christopher John Bjorkmes because he was promoting his stuff on his website and he didn't know about his book, Hitler, Bolshevik, and Zionist. And I remember I pointed it out to Mike King. You know, Mike King did The Bad War, MS King. And Mike was like, oh, I'm so disappointed. I can't believe this. He was disappointed because Christopher John Bjorkmes did some, you know, a great other work. But then he came out with this canard. Like, what is this book, Hitler, Bolshevik, and Zionist? You gotta be kidding me. And everybody, it got so debunked, it got so peer-reviewed on the internet, you know, because that's what we do peer review. We're peers, peer-reviewing all the stuff. And going over all the different research, and you've got all these minds coming together, and everybody's, you know, everybody's peer reviewing. That's how it works. Eustace Mullins, it's a lot more valid peer review than the stupid paid for shill peer reviewers that are peer reviewing all the crap that they do for the medical industry. That's all just bought and paid for. That's all a scam. Yeah, it's all bought and paid for. Yeah.
Eustace Mullins, in his desperate attempt to distance himself from Hitler, makes the following claim in his book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, as follows. Hitler was financed by J.H. Schroeder Banking Company to set up World War II with Hitler as their agent. Okay, this is good. Okay, Mullins opens by saying, although any number of magnates have been given credit for the financing of Hitler, including Fritz Thyssen, Henry Ford, and J.P. Morgan, they as well as others did provide millions of dollars for his political campaigns during the 1920s. It was in actuality J.P. Morgan that was behind the Dawes and Young plans during the Weimar era, overseeing reparations bleeding Germany dry. They were very much against NSDAP, National Socialist Economic Policy, which would have changed their economic control. Furthermore, as I said in a prior article, J.P. Morgan was at the forefront for agitating for war against Germany in a campaign entitled Stop Hitler Now. So there is not one shred of evidence J.P. Morgan donated money to Hitler and in actuality had much to lose in doing so. This is an outright fabrication from Mullins to back up his J.H. Schroeder claim. Now, if you disagree that this was an outright fabrication from Mullins, because that's a heck of a statement for them to make. Call in next week, because we don't have time tonight. Anyway, yeah, figure out a way that you can get the information and refute it, because I'd like to hear that you refute it. Okay. To back up his J.H. Schroeder claim, Mullins cites a self-described German pacifist and journalist, Otto Lehmann Roosevelt. In his book, Aggression, he writes the following. Okay, we're getting close to the end here. Hitler was invited to a meeting at the Schroeder Bank in Berlin on January 4th, 1933. The leading industrialists and bankers of Germany tided Hitler over his financial difficulties and enabled him to meet the enormous debt he had incurred in connection with the maintenance of its private army. In return, he promised to break the power of the trade unions. On May 2nd, 1933, he fulfilled his promise. Okay, so this is, now we're going to refute this statement here. Aside from the fact that not one single source is cited to prove this alleged meeting even took place at all, it is known Hitler planned to, quote-unquote, break the trade unions since his time writing Mein Kampf simply because they were communist strongholds, not because he wanted to help banks and industrialists avoid paying fair wages. Otto Lehmann Roosevelt, reveals himself to be a typical Marxist leftist journalist attempting to equate Hitler with capitalist elites. This is who Mullins has resorted to in order to smear Hitler. I've got to fix the typos here. He then goes on to say that the Dulles brothers were present at his meeting and were responsible for installing Hitler as a chancellor. Okay, so here's the quote. Present at the January 4th, 1933, and I got a few minutes. Okay. Present at the January 4th, 1933 meeting were the Dulles brothers, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles of the New York law firm Sullivan and Cromwell, which represented the Schroeder Bank. You know, the Dulles Airport, I think that's in New York, right? The Dulles brothers often turned up at important meetings. They had represented the United States at the Paris Peace Conference, 1919. John Foster Dulles, the Paris Peace Conference, that's where the criminal Jew Treaty of Versailles was written, carved up Germany and gave it away to the commies and set up Germany to get, you know, their ethnic Germans genocided by Jewish Bolsheviks that were already in Poland and the Sudetenland, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Czechoslovakia. And I forgot the other place. Okay. Eisenhower's Secretary of State, while Alan Dulles herded the Central Intelligence Agency for many years. Their apologists have seldom attempted to defend the Dulles brothers' appearance at the meeting, which installed Hitler as the Chancellor of Germany, preferring to pretend that it never happened. Obliquely, one biographer, Leonard Mosley, bypasses it in Dulles when he states, quote, both brothers had spent large amounts of time in Germany, where Sullivan and Cromwell had considerable interest during the early 1930s, having represented several provincial governments, some large industrial combines, a number of big American companies with interest in the Reich, and some rich individuals. False! What actually occurred was Alan Dulles served as the legal advisor of the League of Nations for the limitations of arms. He traveled to Germany in the 1920s and 30s, and when he met with a host of world leaders, including Mussolini and Hitler, but not to fund or install Hitler, as Mullins falsely claims, rather to stipulate League of Nations policy onto them, mostly in accordance with Versailles guidelines. Yeah, good luck. By 1934, Alan Dulles was extremely anti-Germany and closed the Sullivan and Cromwell office in Berlin. Mullins conveniently doesn't mention that part. In addition to that, John Foster Dulles worked... Ah! All right, well, I'll read the rest of it next time, folks. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. And I really had a good time with you all tonight. Thank you so much. And stick around for Jeffrey Bennett next. And have a wonderful, wonderful night. Bye-bye.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE.
Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.